Glory to God. He's up and running. 126. Let's stand for our final hymn.
Did you hear it, Pastor? I said you were in on it.
Praise the Lord. Verse 3 and 4. There is power. Amen. And that power is in His blood. I'm so glad we know that today. And I'm so glad that we stand upon that holy blood. Glory to God. Let's sing it to the Lord. William Cowper. Incredible words. Think about it. Seated, beloved, this morning, good saying, I'm so thankful for the words of this precious hymn. Wow, dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood will never lose its power. Aren't you glad? We're not resting on some dead religion, but on the precious blood of Christ. Ah, what a blessing this morning, beloved. Let's grab our Bibles and we'll get to our message. And open up this morning to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. This morning's message is a word of warning. Amen? A word that the Lord has laid on mine heart, and I wish that the whole world this morning could hear this message. That's how important it is in these last days of this dispensation. Glory to God. Look with me here in Proverbs. We're going to be reading one verse, then praying, then preaching, in Proverbs chapter 14. The Holy Spirit arrested my attention this week with a particular verse here in the 14th of Proverbs. And let me ask you a question before we read. Whose word is this in Proverbs chapter 14? Do you believe? Let me ask you this. Do you believe that every word of Scripture is inspired by God and that it is God's holy word? Yeah. Amen, church. You believe that this morning. Then we know that this is God's word. Amen. In chapter 14. And because we know that this is God's word in chapter 14, we can know that God will tell you the truth. This is not the pastor's personal opinion, but this is the word of God. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. In Proverbs chapter 14, Look with me down here, beloved. And this is one of the strongest warnings that you can find in all of the Bible that God gives to mankind. In chapter 14, look with me at verse number 9. The Bible says, what's that first word?
Fools.
Fools. Fools. How many of you knows, before we read here, the book of Proverbs is a book of what? Wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's inspired by God to give you, child of God, wisdom in your Christian walk. Now, if you read the Proverbs and you gain wisdom and you live a wise and righteous life, you'll be a wise person, won't you? But let me ask you a question, church. What is the opposite of being wise?
Fool.
That being a fool, right? That would be being a fool. And God's word says here in verse number 9, fools make a mock at sin.
Yes.
Fools make a mock at sin. I want to preach you a sermon I've entitled God's Description of a Fool. Heavenly Father, how we thank you this morning for thy holy word. How we thank you that it is perfect, infallible, complete, and plenary. That means all of it is inspired by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you this morning that this is your word, not mine. Lord, I thank you that your word shows us clearly how we can be wise men and women of God. And Lord, I'm thankful that it's a two-edged sword, that it also exposes the foolishness of mankind today. And those who reject the salvation of the Son of God, the Bible says, are fools. God's description of a fool this morning. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, folks. The Hebrew word here for mock. Notice that in verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. The Hebrew word there is lutz. Lutz, it means to scorn or boast of. Fools boast of sin. Fools make a mock. Fools scorn sin. You notice, today, in the world, sin is no big deal. Sin, there is no sin, most people feel today. And the way they live shows it clearly. But the Bible says that fools make a mock at sin. Now, did you know that God's description of a fool is much, much different than the world's description of a fool? You, listen now, the old world out there would probably consider you to be a fool for being in this here church this morning. They would consider you to be a fool for reading that Bible, for getting on your knees and praying to God, for listening to this old preacher. They would consider you to be a foolish person, but God doesn't. God's description of a fool is far different than the world's description. The Bible says, listen now, they say you're a fool for putting money in that plate for tithing your income. They say, oh, you're a fool for going to that church 3 times a week. What do you mean 3 times a week? I wish it was more. But listen, folks, that's not what God's word says. God says, dearly beloved, look at verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. Did you know that sin, you know, most churches don't preach about sin anymore. Most churches have watered down the doctrine of harmatology. Harmatology, that's the doctrine of sin. And, you know, there is no sin anymore. It's a country club. It's a social club. And they don't want to preach. You know, that's why the church isn't full this morning. Folks don't want their sin stepped on. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I need the devil preached out of me once in a while. Amen? We need to preach against sin. Because sin put our Savior on the cross. Yes. I'm so glad that the Bible tells us clearly that the man is a fool who makes light of sin. I want to give you 6 things this morning, beloved. 6 ways that God describes a fool. And then I want to give you 4 dangers of the fool. But first, 6 ways that God says a person is foolish. First, God says a fool is a person who excuses their sin. A fool is a person who excuses or makes excuse for sin. Look at me in chapter 28 of Proverbs. We'll be camping out in Proverbs because it's got it all. Amen? We don't need to go anywhere else. Look at this in Proverbs chapter 28. Look what God says in verse 13. He that what?
Covereth.
That means to conceal. That means to hide.
Yes.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God says that person is a fool who acts like they got no sin, who makes excuse for the sin, who tries to cover up their sin. Folks, they're in the churches today. They carry King James Bible. They sing the hymns. They put money in the plate. But the Bible says they're a fool if they're covering up their sins. Listen now. The fellow says, you know, I don't have any sin. Sun Young Moon, the reverend, quote unquote. He says he's never sinned. The Bible says that man is a fool.
Yeah.
All have sinned. That includes me, and that includes you.
Oh, God, yeah.
Sin is foolish. And that person is a fool who makes excuse for their sin. Listen carefully. Most people in the world today do not see sin as anything to worry about. You've heard all the excuses in the book people give for sin. Oh, it's just my nature. It's just the way I am. It's just the custom of my family. We shacked up. We don't believe in marriage. Oh, I just can't help myself. I just have to take those drugs. I just have to drink that whiskey every night. Everybody's doing it, so it can't be all bad. That's not what God says. Listen, every attempt to conceal your sin or to throw the blame on others for your sin or to blame your circumstances in life for your sin is a fearful sign of impenitence and hardened indifference. Why? Look with me in chapter 27. Look at verse 22. Don't miss this. Chapter 27, verse 22. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in mortar amongst wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. What does that mean? I love the King James Bible. You know why? It causes you to study. You got to get the meaning on these old English words. You know what this verse is saying? Let's dissect it. Though thou shouldest bray a fool, that's beat. Bray is beat. A fool, there's the fool, in mortar. A mortar is something they put the wheat in and they pound it. They pound it with a pestle. It's a hammer with a round head. And it beats the wheat, the impurities out of the wheat. But he says, if you had a giant mortar and you put a fool into it and you began beating him, and what would it do? It would crush his bones, wouldn't it? His fellow would be in the hospital for quite a while. But it said, look at it, the last part of the verse, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Why? Because this guy, what's he called by God in verse 22? A fool. He's making excuse for sin. He won't repent. You can beat him all day long. It's not going to work. It takes a new heart. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to drive out sin from the human nature. Amen? Only God can do that. He's not going to depart from his foolishness because he's making excuses for his sin. God says fools make a mock at sin. But secondly, this morning, listen carefully now. The second point I want to make is this. God says a fool is a person who can commit sin without any regret, no remorse. That's a seared conscience, Paul calls it. Look at chapter 13, Proverbs chapter 13. And Proverbs chapter 13, look with me at verse number 19. Look at this. The desire accomplished, that's when you set a goal, something you want to do for the Lord, amen? Is sweet to the soul. It's a good thing. But it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. They are not going to leave their evil ways because they love it. Verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That's why I like hanging out with y'all. Amen? I want to be wise.
I like verse 6 in Proverbs 28. You know, it's better to walketh with to be poor and walketh in righteousness than to be rich. No, we're to say, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich.
Mm.
I like that.
Good stuff. Verse number 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of what?
Fools
shall be what?
Destroyed.
Did you see that? Folks, this is a serious message this morning. People are going to be destroyed because of the foolishness of their sin, and they don't even know it. They're blinded by the God of this world. But God says a fool is a person who can commit sin without any remorse, no regret. Proverbs chapter 26. We're going to move along quickly here. In Proverbs chapter 26, hope you have your Bibles greased up. Verse number 10, it says, the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool He's going to pay him back one day. You see that? And reward of transgressors. As a dog, you ladies are not going to like this verse. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. God says a person who will not turn from his sin is just like a dog who turns around, throws up, and goes and licks it up.
Yep.
Ah! Nasty! That's how God sees a person who is foolish enough to go back to his sin. Listen, folks, sin is a serious thing. It's not repulsive to him. He likes it. There's no regret. There's no remorse. He enjoys it. Listen now, there are people, many people, who think sin is fun. They even go so far as to boast about their sin. Their attitude is eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to live it up and have all the fun I can in the fast lane. But they do not understand that it says they'll be destroyed one day. Listen to this verse, Philippians 3, verse 18. Paul says, for many, many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Listen, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and who, listen, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Whoa! They glory in their sin. They brag about their evil. But God says fools make a mock at sin. Thirdly, I see something else that God says about the foolish. Listen carefully. Thirdly, God says a fool is a person who readily gives in to temptation. A fool is a person who readily gives in to temptation. Chapter 7 of Proverbs, we have sin personified. The Holy Spirit here in Proverbs chapter 7 likens sin unto a strange woman. That's what he labels her. Look at this. In chapter 7 of Proverbs, a person who readily, easily gives in to temptation is a fool. Look at verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. That's where we need to love God's word, in the heart. Say unto wisdom, he wants you to be wise. Thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from who?
The strange woman.
That's sin personified. From the stranger which flattereth with her words. Sin flatters you. Sin says, oh, come on, take a little. It won't hurt. It's not going to, after all, it's not going to hurt nobody. Oh, yeah, it is. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement. This is sin talking. Verse 7. And beheld among the simple ones, that's ones without knowledge, I discerned amongst the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. Now, who's gone? Sins. And he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman, sin, with the attire of an harlot, subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, sin. Her feet abide not in her own house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Sin wants to trap you. Sin is everywhere waiting to ensnare you. Verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him. Sin wants to kiss you. And oh, sin wants to make out with you. And with an impudent face, she said unto him, I have peace offerings. Oh, it'll be so good. Look, drop down here with me to verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield temptation. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him.
Oh, I like that. God's got a sense of humor. She didn't force him.
He chose to go into her house. Look at this, verse 22. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter. You know the slaughterhouse where they chop up the meat? Or as a fool to the correction of the stalks, till a dot strike through his liver, as a bird hasted to the snare, to the trap. And knoweth not that it is for his life. He says that fool is a person who readily gives in to temptation. But listen, those who rush into sin upon the slightest temptation show how lightly they regard it and how little they think of divine authority. They have no fear of God. That's where it begins. When the prophet Elijah was sent by God to read Ahab, his doom, in 1 Kings 21, Verse 20, Ahab says to Elijah, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" Hey, Elijah wasn't his enemy. He was the best friend he had on the earth because he told him the truth. He said, "You better repent, O king. God's going to destroy you." And Elijah answered and said, "I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord." It's like making a pact with the devil when you get into sin. He says, "You better repent." Ahab and Jezebel didn't think so. But God said, "That man is a fool. Fools make a mark at sin." A passenger on board a 747 recently bound from Zurich to Beirut recently cried out that he was suffocating. The plane was emergency landed in Athens, Greece, where Joseph Pasita was rushed to a nearby hospital where he died. When undressing the body of the man, doctors discovered that Mr. Pasita was wearing a corset holding 1,500 valuable Swiss watches worth an estimated $1.5 million. The smuggler was unable to loosen the straps when his breathing became restricted and died as a result. Fools become mock at sin. Yeah. His sin killed him, literally. And a newspaper article from St. Petersburg, Florida. Recently, a thief broke into a local meat market at night. And while attempting to grab some sausages, he was hungry, he stumbled and fell down. In attempting to escape, he became completely entangled in the 45-foot string of sausages. When police arrived, they said the man was still trying to free himself from his own crime scene. Fools make a mock at sin. But that's how sin is. It'll trap you. It'll wrap itself around you, and you'll get caught. Make no bones about it. Something else. God describes a person who is a fool. Fourthly, God says a fool is a person who will not receive reproof. A person who will not receive reproof. Look at chapter 9. Proverbs 9. Look at verse 6. Forsake the who?
Foolish.
The foolish. You know why? They will not listen. They will not receive correction. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth that word means to correct. Mm-hmm. A scorner, get this, that word again, scorner, a fool, making a mock at sin, get it to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man, get it himself a block. Why? He's going to turn on you. You tell him the truth, your sin's going to kill you, he turns on you, becomes your enemy. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee.
Yes, amen.
A wise man, why? That wise man will receive correction. He will receive your reproof because he wants to be wise. He wants to please God. Look in verse 21 of chapter, I'm sorry, look in chapter 29, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 1. In chapter 29, verse number 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his heart, his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. God says that person is a fool who will not receive correction and reproof. Why? Because there's a day coming where he'll be destroyed. The Bible, Jesus said, "Fear not man, which can only kill the body, but fear him, which is able to cast both body and soul into hell." He said, "You better fear my Father." Amen? This man is a fool because he will not receive reproof. Gary was my supervisor in New York when I went to Bible college. We lived in New York for 10 years, and it took me quite a while to get through Bible college, but I made it, you know. And Gary was my supervisor at diaper service. I was the diaper man. And Gary, Lord laid Gary on my heart, because Gary, you know, he drank heavily, you know, liquor and hard stuff, and he smoked. He was a chain smoker. And Gary was married, but he was an adulterer. You know, he cheated on his wife quite a bit. He was a womanizer. One day, me and Gary were in the van, and we're learning a new route. And the Lord said, "Talk to him. Just talk to him." I said, "Gary, do you know where you're going when you die?" He said, "Oh, don't tell me. Don't bring up Jesus. Don't tell me about your Bible stuff." And I said, "Well, Gary, you know, Jesus died for you too, and we all need to be saved." He said, not me. Not me. He said, "I do not want to hear about your Jesus."
Wow.
He said, "Just shut up." He was my supervisor, so I had to. You know, a week after that, we got the news that Gary was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Wow.
3 months later, he was dead. Died of lung cancer. My heart, I wept because I knew where Gary went. Gary's last words to me, he said, I can't accept your Jesus because I don't want anybody in my life telling me what I can or cannot do.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
That's how the majority of people are in this world, church. They don't want anybody telling them what they can or cannot do, including their maker, who has a right. He was saying, basically, I will not receive reproof, not even from God. Listen, another fellow I worked with at the diaper service named Phil. He was another driver. And Phil was a pleasant guy. He was in his 60s. He was almost ready for retirement. And one day I got a chance to get along with Phil, and I tried witnessing to Phil, too. And I said, Phil, do you know about being born again, being saved? And he said, oh, no. He said, I don't need that stuff. I said, why? He said, because I'm Catholic. And he said to me, I was born Catholic, and I'll die Catholic. How many times have you heard that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I said, well, yeah, but I said, I was raised Catholic too, but I got saved. I came out of that abomination. I got born again, and I got Jesus Christ. I'm on my way to heaven, you know? And he said, nope. He says, I'm going to the Catholic Church all the way till I die. Wow. And I said, wow, that's too bad. And about a couple weeks later, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. And 3 months after that, he died of lung cancer. And I'm like, I better stop witnessing. All these guys are dying all around me.
Wow.
No, keep witnessing. Keep telling the truth, whether they receive it or not.
Yeah.
That man is a fool who will not receive correction. Proverbs 6:23, don't turn there. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. They lead to life, and that eternal life. God says fools make a mock at sin. But something else, quickly. God describes a fool, fifthly, listen carefully, as a person who takes pleasure in the sins of others. Look in chapter 21 of Proverbs. A fool is a person who takes pleasure in the sins of others. Not only his own wickedness, but the sins of others. You ever notice how these crowds, they congregate? They're like magnetic. They attract each other. You know what I'm talking about? You know, the crack house? They are drawn to each other. That's what sin does. It draws people to each other. They take pleasure in the sins of others. Look at verse 16, chapter 21. 16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of what?
The dead.
The dead. Folks, listen to me. Down there at the nightclub on Saturday night where they're all drinking and getting drunk and dancing on the dance floor and whooping it up and playing their rock music, whatever it might be, they're dead. The Bible does not look at them as living people. The Bible says they're dead while they liveth. Why? Because they're dead spiritually. Look at this verse. In chapter number 21, look at verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. He's saying if you love sin and you take pleasure in the sins of others, you will be poor. You will be destitute, and you will remain in the congregation of the dead. That's a scary thought. Misery loves company, the old saying goes, right? Listen carefully. In 1993, when on deputation in New York, I met a man in a church service whose name was Joey. Joey, this guy was tall. He was built. He was handsome. I mean, he looked like a movie star, you know, like a bodybuilder. And Joey asked me if he could meet with me privately after the service. Nobody here knows who I'm talking about. So Joey confided in me after service. We met in the pastor's office. And he said, brother, I was on deputation as a missionary at the time. He said, brother, I was a male stripper. He said, I was a male exotic dancer. Right. And he said, we would go to all these different, me and the other guys, we would go to all these different clubs, and we would announce it, you know, ladies night out, the boys are coming to town. And he said, pastor, what would happen is most of the women, they'd get drunk because they'd be drinking through the night. Folks, I'm telling you, sin is no joke. And he'd say a bunch of those women would stay after the club closed with us strippers. And I cannot tell you what he told me, folks. It's wickedness. And it has to do with taking pleasure in the sins of others. Listen to me. You know what happened to that fellow? He was like this. Shaking That fellow was a mess. You know why? That's what sin will do to you. He couldn't live with himself. He was suicidal. I had to pray with him and come against the demons that were in that guy. But good news, he got saved and baptized, and he started serving God. He never went back to that evil lifestyle. Amen? There is salvation for the fool who will become wise. Folks, this is no joke. I've met with some people that absolutely I was fearful for them. You know what I'm saying? Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became what?
Fools.
Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Did you catch that? They take pleasure in the others who do the same sins. God says fools make a mock at sin. But sixthly, something else that God says concerning the fool. Sixthly, God says a fool is a person who refuses to believe on his son. Folks, I want to tell you something this morning. This message God's laid on my heart. I'm here to tell you that the majority of the 7 billion people on planet Earth this morning are fools. You know why? Because they refuse to believe on Jesus Christ. This is serious stuff. Go with me to Proverbs. Go with me to Psalm 14. Before Proverbs, you'll find the book of Psalms, before Ecclesiastes. Look here in Psalm 14. Here's what God says. Get Psalm 14 in one hand, and get Psalm 53 in the other hand. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. And with your third hand, get... Oh, no, no. You only got two hands. You only got two hands. All right. Use your foot and go to Psalm 14. Look at this. Verse 1. The what? The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. That man is a fool who doesn't believe in his maker. The Hebrew construction of verse 1 is the fool had said in his heart, no God. No God. He's saying no to God, and he's saying there is no God. That man is a fool. Psalm 53. Verse 1, the what? Fool had said, where?
In his heart.
In his heart. Notice that, the seat of the affections, what he loves. He loves no God. See that? He is his own God, small g. Because he says in his heart, there is no God. The next word, corrupt, abominable, filthy. Look, folks. People who will not come to Jesus Christ, the Bible says, are fools. I didn't make that up. Listen, there was a fellow back in New York when I was in Bible college, full-time Bible college, full-time father, full-time husband, and full-time diaper delivery man. I was busy. But when we would gas up the trucks at the gas station, Tony's gas station, Tony was the owner. Tony was a wicked atheist. He didn't want anything to do with God. He used to call me, here comes the bishop. The gas up the truck. Oh, here comes the bishop. I'm like, Tony, I'm not in the Catholic clergy, man. You know, oh, you're the bishop, you know. Well, one day, I'm out there minding my own business, trying to, and I'm gassing up my truck. Tony comes, sees me, he comes running up. Now, this other customer is gassing up their vehicles. He comes out, and he comes up to the truck, and he says, hey, Bob, or bishop, hey, bishop. Where's your God? And I said, well, trying to ignore him, you know. He's everywhere, Tony. He's on my present. He says, oh, really? Is he right here? I says, yeah, he's right here. Help me gas up. And he says, well, if your God's right here, he lifted his fist up to heaven, and he says, I dare him to strike me dead.
Oh, unbelievable.
To prove he's real. And I looked at him, and I said, Tony, God doesn't want to kill you. He wants to save you. Yeah. Ah! And he stormed back into the... He doesn't want to kill you. He wants to save you. He stormed away, man. Why? He's a fool. He's a fool. I told him Jesus Christ wants to save his hellbound soul, and he stormed off mad. That's the majority of this world, folks. They refuse to believe in God's Son. Listen now. Madeline Murray O'Hare. You all remember her?
Oh, yeah.
The noted atheist? She was the president of Atheists for America. They boasted a membership of over 10,000 at one time. She was best known for her successful campaign in 1962 to have prayer removed from the classroom. She succeeded, as you know. She didn't stop there, though. She wanted prayer to be banned from outer space. Folks, I couldn't make this up. Look, Ms. O'Hare, after hearing words of prayer radioed to Earth by the three famous astronauts as they circled the moon, said, "I think that they were not only ill-advised, but that this is a tragic situation." She then went to Washington, D.C., where she registered an official protest against the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, which she declared had prompted and coerced the three astronauts in scheduling the prayer. No, they didn't. They were Christians. Listen now. She went on to request a total ban on prayer in outer space. Folks, this is... You can look it up. Man, if there's no God, why is she so concerned about people praying to no God in outer space? What's the problem? See? They know deep down inside that there is a God. And they'll stand before him one day. By the way, Ms. O'Hare... It didn't end well for her. Listen, hold that thought, brother. She was found dead, murdered, and her son and her granddaughter, all three bodies were recovered 3 years after their disappearance in 1997. So they were abducted. They took all of the money that the American Atheist Organization had, so $750,000, and they murdered them and buried them. It didn't end well for her. It doesn't end well for fools, people. Now listen, God says fools make a mock at sin, but in closing, quickly, let me give you four dangers of the fool. Four incredible dangers of the fool's conduct. First, the first danger is because of sin's intrinsically evil nature. Go with me to chapter 11 of Proverbs. Chapter 11. The danger of the fool's conduct is first dangerous because of sin's intrinsically evil nature. Chapter number 11 of Proverbs. Look with me at verse 18. Don't miss this. Verse 18 says, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work." Listen, the fool, it says here that the wicked, the fool, is deceived. That's why he's doing what he's doing, because he's deceived. Who deceived him?
The devil.
The devil. The devil. "But to him that soweth righteousness shall be sure reward." Look at verse 19. "As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death." You know what he's saying? He's saying when you pursue sin, you are in great danger. Sin is intrinsically evil by nature. I hate sin. I love old... Dr. Lee Robertson, he said, Billy Sunday. He used to preach against sin. He said, "I hate sin. I hate sin like I hate the devil." He said, "I will fight sin till the day I die." He said, "I will bite sin." No, he said, "I will punch sin while I have any fists." And he says, "When I'm old and gray and have no fists, I'll kick sin." And he says, "When I have no feet, I'll bite sin." And he says, "When I have no fight, I don't know what it was, but he was saying, I will fight against sin till I die." Amen? And that's why? Because he was wise. Fools, they don't understand the danger. Go to chapter 8. In chapter 8, look here. In chapter 8, verse 36, 34. "Blessed is the man that heareth me." Wisdom speaking. Wisdom personified is the Son of God. Amen? Watching, I don't have time to show you, but there's a theophany. It's Jesus Christ in chapter 8. With the Father, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Listen to me. Let me make a statement before we continue. All people in this world are either following the Lord Jesus Christ or they're following sin. There is no neutral ground. Verse 35, "For whoso findeth me, findeth what?
Life.
And shall obtain favor of the Lord." You are favored by God, beloved. "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." He says, that person who loves sin and hates me, Jesus Christ, wisdom, is in great danger. They may not know it, but they are in great danger. Listen carefully now. Sin is destructive by nature. Sin is like spiritual cyanide poisoning. And when a person chooses sin over listening to God, it's just like taking a bottle of arsenic and drinking it down. Killing himself. Slowly. Sin will kill you. It's going to kill you. Listen, sin had its origin in the pit of hell. 1 John 3:8 says, he that committed sin is of the devil. Folks, I didn't make that up. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. That's the origin of sin. The devil. Satan, the devil, was that serpent in the garden that infected our first parents with the deadly disease called sin. Adam became a fool when he listened to sin and not to God. Sin is the sum of all evil. From its proceeds, evil thoughts, evil speaking, an evil conscience, and evil deeds. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. God says sin will sting you when you die if you're not saved. God says fools make a mock at sin. But I see another great danger of the fool that walketh in sin. Listen carefully. Another danger is because of sin's present consequences. Did you know that sin has present consequences? Not only future consequences. Look with me in chapter 11 again. Proverbs 11. And make it chapter 5. Chapter 5. Look at verse number 7. Don't miss this. Verse 7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. This is what God says. Remove thy way far from her. Who is the her?
Sin.
Sin. It's sin personified. He said, don't even go near her house. And come not nigh the door of her house. Why? It's a dangerous place to be. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labor be in the house of a stranger. Would this happen after they're dead or before? Before. Present consequences. Verse 11. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Think about it. And say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? When you have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. In the end, the fool will say, why didn't I listen to the preacher? Why didn't I listen to God? Why didn't I read that Bible and believe it? It's too late. Look at verse 14. I was almost in all evil. Where?
In the midst
of the congregation, the assembly. Folks, he's talking about a person who is in church. And he says this person is a fool because they're hearing the word of God, but they're not doing it. They're not receiving it. And practicing it. They're just in one ear and out the other. You see? Listen now. Just ask the alcoholic who's dying because he has sclerosis of the liver if sin has any present consequences. Ask the drug addict who's suffering with hepatitis C contracted from sharing dirty needles if sin has any present consequences. Ask the poor homosexual dying of AIDS if sin has any present consequences. Ask the gambling addict that has lost his home, his family, and all his possessions because he could not stop going to the casino if there are any present consequences to sin. Oh, folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that sin has consequences in this life and that which is to come. People, sin has consequences that you won't want to be in. Someone once said, sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and lead you somewhere you don't want to be. Sin is nothing to mock at. Sin is nothing to make light of. God says fools make a mock at sin. But I see a third danger for the fool this morning. Listen carefully. The third danger is because sin is what caused the sufferings of the Son of God. Sin is what caused the sufferings of the Son of God. Go to Isaiah chapter 53 quickly. Isaiah. Just turn ahead and you'll get there quickly. In chapter 53, I want you to see what put Jesus on the cross. Who is Jesus? Emmanuel. God with us. Amen. He's God manifest in the flesh. God had to die because of your sin and my sin. Look at chapter 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. That's how they feel about our Savior. Why? because he calls them to repent and be saved. Listen, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Yeah, I did for 27 years. For 27 years, I hid my face from him till I got saved. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, our sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth, not a word. He died for our sins willingly. He laid down his life. Verse 8, here's what I want you to see. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off, there's the cross, out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Folks, listen carefully. Jesus Christ was smitten on that old rugged cross for our sins. Sin is a dangerous place to be. The agony and sufferings of the Son of God for sin and the price that he paid for our redemption awfully demonstrate the folly and madness of making light of sin. Behold him in Gethsemane, sweating great drops of blood. See him hanging on that cross and hear his dying cries. Father, forgive them. And then say whether the cause of his sufferings, which was sin, can be regarded as a matter of idle jest. Sin is nothing to mock at. Listen, nowhere does the evil of sin appear so great and so horrendous as in the sacrifice of the Son of God. Think about that. God says, fools make a mock at sin. But I see another danger. Listen carefully. A final danger of the fool that mocks at sin. That danger is because of the final ruin that sin will bring upon his soul. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 5. In Proverbs chapter 5, look with me at verse number 4. Don't miss this. There is a great danger in sin because of the final ruin that sin will bring upon the soul. Verse number 4. Her end. Whose end? Sin's. Her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps, sin's steps, take hold on what? Hell. You see that? That person is a fool because they don't understand that their sin is going to put their soul in hell. Folks, hell is real. You don't hear preaching on hell no more. They've air-conditioned hell. Oh, I'm going to be down there drinking beer with all my buddies. No, you're not. You're going to be in torment, in flames, and suffering. Sin leads to hell. By the way, the Hebrew word there is Sheol, not Kaber. The Hebrew word Kaber means grave. The Hebrew word Sheol means hell. It means what it says. Amen. Look at chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Look at verse 24. Don't miss this. Hearken unto me now, O therefore, ye children. Attend to the words of my mouth, wisdom says. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. No, go not astray in her paths. But she, sin, hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to what? Hell. Going down to the chambers of death. He says sin will put you in hell. Sin will put you in the grave quicker than anything this world has. Sin kills, folks. I'm here to tell you this morning. Look at me in Proverbs chapter 9. Chapter 9. Look at me at verse 17. Don't miss this. Stolen waters are sweet. Ah, sin is so sweet. Oh, it tastes so good. Not for long, buddy.
Yeah.
Not for long.
Yeah.
For a season, maybe. But in the end, you'll regret it eternally. Look at chapter verse 17. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, spiritually dead, and that her sin's guests are in the depths of what?
Hell.
He says the fool does not understand that they will spend all of eternity in a horrible place called hell. with real fire, real brimstone, real flames. I wish it wasn't so. I wished only the devil was going to hell. But the Bible says the fool will end up there. The final ruin and everlasting destruction that sin will bring upon the soul of the fool will forever prove that God was right in his assessment of those who make a mock at sin. Listen, folks, could we somehow draw aside the veil this morning that conceals from us the underworld and plunge into the horrors of the bottomless pit called hell and see the justice of God pouring out a tempest of fire and brimstone upon the souls of those who laughed and mocked at sin to all of eternity? Surely we could not move quickly enough to warn the wicked of the impending doom to come. Amen? If we could just get a glimpse this morning, we'd go out this door screaming, "Repent! Get saved before it's too late!" Listen, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And those who now scorn and make a mock at sin will one day receive the same in return." Go to Proverbs chapter 1 in closing. We'll finish with this. Don't miss what God says to the fool in the end. Proverbs chapter 1. Look with me here in verse number 24. Verse number 24. God speaking. Amen. "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock." What? "When your fear cometh." God says, "You made a mock at sin, and now I'm going to mock at you." Watch this. Don't miss this, folks. "I will also laugh when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." God's got a breaking point, folks. There's coming a day when he will not hear the sinner's prayer. For they, why? Why will he not hear these people? "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." Folks, this is a fearful passage, but here's the good news. Look at verse number 32. "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of who?
Fools.
Fools shall destroy them. But, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Solomon says, the preacher says, I've got good news, boys and girls. God says, if you hearken unto him, if you serve him, if you get saved by his son, if you come to know the truth, you shall dwell safely, that's securely, and be quiet from fear of evil. No evil shall touch you. Oh, that's such good news. And it's available to everyone. Oh, I'm so glad that God has made it available to all those who will seek it. Amen? Listen to God. My advice to you this morning. Listen to God. Because we need to hearken to his voice. We need to obey him, love him, serve him, fear him. And instead of being a fool, you'll be wise. You'll be a wise woman. You'll be a wise man in the eyes of God. And his favor will be upon you. And one day, all that glorious day, will we rejoice with him forevermore in glory above. In closing, let me give you this and I'll be done. In 1962, in the city of Salem, not far from here, Salem, New Hampshire, there was a tent revival. And a preacher, a famous evangelist, went all over America preaching the gospel, getting souls saved, great man of God. He came to Salem. And all the churches got together for this event. They stirred up the people, and they invited their friends, invited the lost, put in the newspaper, advertised it, put up flyers. Huge crowd came out. They had a big tent set up in the park, and it was filled with hundreds of people. And the old preacher was preaching the gospel and telling how Jesus saved and Jesus loved you and Jesus died for your sins. And there was four boys in the last row of folding chairs way in the back. And those four teenage boys were laughing. They were laughing at the old preacher. They say, oh, it's just foolish, you know. And the preacher stopped, and he said, and I believe he said it to them. He said, fools make a mock at sin. Get saved today before it's too late. And those four boys got up and, you stole dumb preacher. And they stormed out of that tent, and they got in the car, and they had two cases of beer in the car. They were just teenagers. And the state patrolman said they had to have been doing 95 miles an hour when they hit the tree, which killed all four of them. They went from the brink of salvation at that tent meeting to eternity without Jesus Christ. Those boys were fools not to listen to God. Beloved, fools make a mock at sin. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the truth of your word. Lord, how I thank you that we can be wise men and women by hearkening diligently unto the voice of your word. Lord, I thank you that you offer eternal life to all those whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. I am so thankful this morning, Lord, that we don't have to be a fool and we don't have to play the fool either. I am so thankful this morning, Lord, that your word clearly instructs mankind to seek the Son of God before it's too late. I think of those four boys down in Salem about 50 years ago. And Lord, how they heard the gospel message and went out and died within minutes. How horrifying is that to think that they'll never, ever have a chance to be saved again. Lord, that's how most people live today. Making a mock at sin. Making light of sin. Boasting about their sin. But oh Lord, I am so thankful this morning that your loving arms are wide open to all mankind. Even whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Whew! I'm so glad I've got good news in closing this morning. Lord, I'm so thankful that I see every person in this church this morning is already saved. They've made the wisest decision a human being can make to accept the salvation of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that our hearts are stirred to warn the lost today. To tell them that the time is drawing nigh. The rapture of the church will take place. The church age of grace will end. And the tribulation period will begin. There is an Antichrist coming on the scene. And there is a great tribulation to shun. Oh God, I pray you'd use us in these last days to bring many to the saving knowledge of thy Son. We love you this morning and we thank you for your word. Thank you for making us wise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our hymnals quickly. And let's stand for our final hymn this morning. We will open up to, 242. I'm so glad there's still room at the cross. Amen. 242, people. What a great hymn of the faith. 242, and we will sing the first and the second. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and His grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. His room at the cross for you. Though millions of sinners are strong, and the love of my Savior is long, through sunshine of rain, through fostering gain, the blood goes from Calvary to cleanse every stain.
Amen!
there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yet there's room at the cross for you.
In prayer this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for come together, hear your word, Lord. We thank you for the wisdom of your book and that it's always available, readily available to us, Lord. We just pray that you'll keep us ever mindful of your word, keep us ever mindful of the foolishness of sin and the penalty of sin. What sin, its reward is nothing that any of us should be striving for. We pray, Lord, that you'd keep us ever mindful of it. You'd keep us in your word. You'd keep us away from the sin and away from the pitfalls of the world that surrounds us. We ask you, Lord, to journey with us, to keep us safe through this day, to bring us safely back again this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.